Okay, we're starting Kufid Gimel Halacha Aleph. Okay, the Mechaber says, the Halacha is a Bishlakim. The Mechaber says, Dover She'en Nechle Kuma Shulchai, a food which is not edible, V'gam Oyla Shulchum Lochem, Lafis Bo'is Apas, and, I'm sorry, V'gam Oyla Shulchum Lochem, and it's served at Shulchum Lochem, either Lafis Bo'is Apas, to be accompanied bread, Oyla Paperis, which means like an appetizer or dessert, I mean not from the main part of the meal. If you have a food like this, which is not edible raw, and it's oil shulchan lochem, and a goy cooked it, I feel it clay Yisrael, ube base Yisrael, even if you cooked it in the juice kalim, so there's no problem with tarfas, ube base Yisrael, mafuki those who hold that cooking in the base Yisrael is not bishlachem, asum shum bishulev kechom, it is also because of bishlachem. Okay, now, before we get into what we're saying, what's interesting to me, interesting is that we know that the rule of oil shulchan lochem is an important one of the rules of bishlachem, except for what it says here, and two like passing references in some halachas later on, doesn't say anyplace else in the whole siman. Okay, to us it's very important, and we're going to have lots to think about it. You know, what is or is not a shulchan lochem, different kind of questions, but. Besides it said it, and two other places in the siman it's going to, like in passing, it's going to mention, if the food happens to be oil shulchan lochem, there's like no mention of it, for whatever that means. Okay, now, the Rambam says, the Gemara doesn't say why you need it to be oil shulchan lochem. The Gemara doesn't say what the point of it is. We would have thought of it on our own. The Rambam is the one who speaks it out, that bish lachem is also misham chasmas. We're afraid you wouldn't come close to the person, and the Rambam says, the kinds of foods that you invite people over to eat from is what would bring about warm feelings. If the guy just gives you, an egg,
or a blend,
a raw egg, just, that's not going to make you feel good about it. But he'll invite you over for something, it's a more harsher of a thing. So those kind of more harsher things is what he invite over. So the Gemara says, think that oil shulchan lochem means those are the things that are bishlachem, because those kinds of foods that are fancier, that you invite someone to eat with you, those are the foods that are usher, that could cause these good feelings, and therefore could lead eventually to chasmas. Now, with that in mind, the Gemara's words, when it describes this rule, I forgot to tell you, that the Gemara says, the Gemara has two shitas. Is there no bishlachim if it's not al shulchan lochem, or is there no bishlachim if it's nechel chai? Okay, the Gemara doesn't say both. The Gemara says either. One holds like this, one holds like this. The Rishonim say, almost all the Rishonim paskin, that we make like both shitas. Okay, but not the simple. Most people read the Gemara would not think that you could hold like both. It's not very bizarre. But almost all the Rishonim hold that we make like both shitas. Okay, right. Now, the Gemara, when it says this kula of Olah Shulchan Lochem, the Gemara's words are, Kol She'en Olah Shulchan Lochem, Olah Espa'is Apas, is excluded. Okay, I'm sorry, is excluded. Okay, that means is, what does it mean, the lafas bo'is apas? Lafas bo'is apas means you put it together with the bread. Like think about a kolkot sandwich. Okay, you eat the meat together with the bread, that's the lafas bo'is apas. It goes together, you eat it together with the pas. Okay, and what would you say, but if you don't have you have a food that's not eaten directly with the pas. Okay, it's not eaten with the pas, but it would be served at shulchan lochem. Okay, and there's two examples that we're going to say. One example is, let's say a plate of rice. Okay? You don't eat rice with your bread. Okay, you don't put the rice into the bread, but you might eat the rice at shulchan lochem. Okay, you would eat it at shulchan lochem, but you wouldn't eat it. Why lift
you?
No,
I'm sorry. Okay. You have a
brachas.
Yes,
it's toppled to the bread, right?
So it's very interesting. In the dinner brachas, there the shulchan aruch uses the word the lafas bo'is apas. Things that are the lafas bo'is apas are.
Yeah.
Tuffle, and you don't have to make a mitzi. And Mr. Bruce says, why did he say that? Why did he say the lafas bo'is apas? It includes even things that are not the lafas bo'is apas. The plate of rice that you have is also, it doesn't have to eat with the bread. It's all tuffle. So you're saying there for what?
So you see that?
That the word, so the Sharatzin says, the Sharatzin over there says, he says, I don't understand why he used the word lafas bo'is apas. The word the lafas bo'is apas does not mean the other things that they do. That's how he understands it. That the word lafas bo'is doesn't include the other things you eat at the meal that don't actually go with the bread. I mean, mamash are things that you eat with the bread. Like
that's
it. So here, you think it's also lav dafka. But here's a gemara. The shulchan aruch, that shulchan aruch is not a gemara. That gemara there says, whatever you eat at the meal is included. The shulchan aruch is the one who changed the word to say lafas bo'is apas. So the Sharatzin says, why did he change the word to be lafas bo'is apas? Why is he being so specific? But in our case, the gemara actually says lafas bo'is apas. So here it's more of a, maybe the gemara is trying to say something, okay? So the
thought the Gemara doesn't say lavas vasapan.
Our Gemara says lavas vasapan. The Gemara in brachas, does not. The Gemara that says is anything that you eat in the meal, machmas asus. I don't know what the words of the Gemara are. Is us and the Shulchan Aruch changed that to be lavas vasapan.
Place lavas vasapan means anything you eat in the meal. What? I'm trying to do a to you, but there's definitely places.
Okay, so I'm not such a bucky, but the Mishnah Berurah didn't take that way. No, you're right. I'm saying you see from Shulchan Aruch it's in Kufayin Zayin,
yeah,
that he would use that word to include it. The Sharetzim is not so thrilled with using that word. The question is over here. We is it Benafra? So you say okay. The truth is in our Gemara, everybody understands like what you're saying. That a bowl of rice is also bishlach, even though you don't eat it mamash lavas vasapas. And they understand like this. What they're saying is like this. When the Gemara says, foods that are lavas vasapas are usher, the Gemara means to say is, even lavas vasapas. Meaning, the Rambam said, the foods that are usher are the foods that you would invite somebody over and you'd make, it would be something more chashuv. So of course the things that are the actual part of the meal, those are of course things that are oil shulchan aruch. The Gemara means to say is, even lafas b'sas, meaning even the thing, you don't invite somebody over to eat the thing that goes into the bread. But once you're inviting them over and you have bread together, you would put those things also. So that's like an even though it's not the actual food, the bowl of rice that you eat at the meal, it's only the thing that's sort of secondary to the meal, secondary in that it goes with the bread, even that is considered Allah shulchan aruch also.
Who says this?
Okay? That's what everyone's understanding, that the Gemara says lafas b'sas means even lafas vasapas, meaning and kol shekain, that the foods that are actually the oil shulchan aruch, those are things that are of course usher, okay? And that's why when it says lafas vasapas, that's for our case, it's a kol shekain. Even those things are considered oil shulchan aruch, even though you wouldn't actually bite the person, okay? But the opposite case, that's not as clear. What happens to a case like this? What happens if you have a food that is not served, it's not served as the primary part of the meal, okay? It's served as a dessert. It's dessert at a shulchan aruch. Yeah. It's not the meal. It's not the thing you actually eat, the bowl of rice. It's not the thing you malachas by sapas, meaning the main body of the meal, but it's the thing that's there as a side part of the meal. Okay, it's the outside part of the meal. It's not the real part of the meal. Is that also included in the malachas by sapas? Malachas by sapas is saying you could have even the things that are not the actual meal, it's even the things that are come together with me. Yeah.
We have to come out to the halacha says afterwards, and you spoke it out with desserts also.
The Pri Chodesh says, the Gemara said, lavas by zapas, and it's the things that you eat at the meal, it's the things you eat with your bread. It doesn't include what the Shulchan Aruch says, paperis. It doesn't include those things. It only includes the main part of the meal. Things that are not eaten as the main part of the meal don't count as shulchan. Those are not considered to be oil shulchan aruch. That's what the Pri Chodesh says. And almost everybody else, including the Shulchan Aruch we just read, says that if it's oil shulchan aruch, lafas by zapas, oil parperis. The parperis means the things that are like an appetizer or a dessert, the things that are not part of the main part of the meal, those things are also considered to be oil shulchan aruch. Okay? Where did he get that from? Where did we get this din that leparperis, which almost everybody calls it, where does it come from that leparperis should be included? The Gemara said it has to be lafas by zapas. So we said that means even lafas, meaning, and of course the things that are in the actual meal. How do we know that means even the things that are outside of the meal? The things that are like the trimmings of the meal that are not really in the meal. So I think the answer is, I think it's simple, is their understanding. When the Gemara said the Chiddush, l'lafas b'sapas, it was telling you that not only the things, the actual meal, the bowl of rice, even the things that are in a way tougher to the meal that they go just with the bread, with the main part of the meal, and that telling you that even the things that are with the meal include the things that are with only secondary to the meal for a different reason than that, like the dessert. The dessert is also secondary to the meal, but since at the Shulchan Aruch, these are all the things that get served, they're all being included. So when the Gemara says, lafas b'sapas, that lafas b'sapas includes the things that are not directly the thing you'd invite the guy over for, but come along with the meal that you invite somebody with. Okay? So all those things are included. Okay? Now, the Rishonim don't say that's with the Achronim, we're not saying they're getting it from that deed that I just said. They're getting actually from a deed in the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Gemara says, the Gemara talks about a case, we'll have it in a bunch of halacha, hey, I think it is, a guy lit a field on fire, okay, and he burnt down the field, and in the field were some grasshoppers, okay, and in the midst of his destruction of this whole field, he toasted the grasshoppers. Okay? So Shaila is where the Gemara talks about whether that is or is not bishalachim because he cooked the grasshoppers. He cooked the bishalachim. The Gemara talks about whether it is or is not. Okay? Whatever the Gemara says, that's halacha here. We'll get to that. But the Rambam says, wait a second. Who, in order to be even considered bishalachim, it has to be olah shulchan lachim. Okay, now, I don't know this because I never ate a grasshopper, but kinareh the Rambam held that people don't eat grasshoppers at shulchan lachim. So he said is, grasshoppers are eaten leparperis. Okay, now I couldn't tell you how you eat grasshoppers, at what part of the meal you eat grasshoppers. But the Rambam says, the Rambam says the grasshoppers are eaten leparperis, so when the Gemara is even clearing that grasshoppers should be, that these grasshoppers should be usher, the Gemara is by inference, is telling you that even things that are leparperis are considered oil shulchan lachem. Okay, now I can't
that's
comment.
Why would that be that? Right, that's parpera. That might not go into the dinner. That might be eaten with bread. But that might not be eaten in the dessert.
No, but it's not. The pre-Kaddish thinks that's what the Rambam learns. But the Rambam, everybody else understands that the Rambam means is that you don't eat grasshoppers as the main part of the meal, lachos mois hapazor as the main part of the meal, and somehow he understood that it's leparperis. He ate grasshoppers. That's how we knew it. We never eat a grasshopper, but we don't know when you eat. It's like saying, if I say to you, the Gemara would say that ice cream would need bishul yisrael, so we all know that you don't eat ice cream at the main part of the meal. It's like, of course, ice cream is a dessert. So somehow, for him, that was obvious that grasshoppers are leparperis. Anyhow, so that's one of the riots that they bring. And come on, everybody holds like that food which is leparperis, is
part of the
leparperis of a shulchan lachem is also asaroso. Okay. Now, we're now going to turn, we'll turn to a more famous shaila that you've probably heard of. Okay, and we'll see that it's totally in, it relates to this shaila of leparperis. Okay, that's where we started with leparperis. We're going to get that, which is, you've all heard the shaila. What happens if you have a food that the way you prepared the food, it's not olah shulchan lachem? Okay, but there would be a different way to prepare that same food than it would be olah shulchan lachem. Okay, you've all heard this question. This food that you prepared was not olah. The way you did it, it didn't make it. But there's another way to make it that it would be olah shulchan lachem. So there are three variations to the shaila. Okay, I'm answering your question. There's three variations to the shaila. Okay. The first one, which is the simplest one, is I made a baked potato, and baked potatoes, let's say, are served at shulchan lachem. Okay? But I'm not such a great chef, so the baked potato that I made would not be served at shulchan lachem. I didn't do such a great job. But the same thing, had you been more professional about what you were doing, it could have been shulchan lachem. If people know what they're doing. Okay, so here the example that I made is not olah shulchan lachem, but mamash, that same food is olah shulchan lachem if you just know, if you're more put together, or if you had put the salt and margarine onto it.
Or you burnt something.
Or you burnt it. Okay. So almost everybody holds. Acharonim will talk about it, and almost everybody holds that thing is considered bishlakim. He says, come on, you made a baked potato, baked potatoes are also shulchan. You burnt it, or you forgot to put the salt on, or whatever you did, it's considered also shulchan. Okay, that's the simplest case. Almost everybody holds that's considered also shulchan. Okay, the next case is, what happens if I make roasted sweet potatoes, okay, are olah shulchan lachem if you slice them or if you mash them. Mm-hmm. What happens if before you cook the sweet potatoes, okay, you dice them into these tiny little pieces, okay, in a way that nobody would eat it like that. It's like for putting into a soup. Soup will be a different child later. But it's in a way that's never going to be olah shulchan lachem. So before you cooked it, you made a roasted sweet potato. You did the same, it's the same kind of a food, but before you started, you did something to it that made it, that this is never going to be olah shulchan lachem. It's not.
Now, if you mean if I baked it first and then diced it, or
yes, of course, because if I baked it first, I would have made it usher, and the dicing afterwards is not going to save it. But I did something to it that makes it. Or, the more famous example is, let's say, this is debatable, but let's say there are types of fried potatoes that are olah shulchan lachem. Okay, let's for argument's sake, say that latkes are olah shulchan lachem. Okay, let's say fried. There's such thing as fried potatoes. But I made a fried potato. I made French fries. I made what's it called? Potato chips that are not olah shulchan lachem. So what it is in this case is different than the last one. Here I did something, the same basic kind of cooking as the way that's olah shulchan lachem. I fried it, they fried it. I baked the potato, a sweet potato, they baked the sweet potato, but I did it different so that my way would never be olah shulchan lachem. Okay? The potato chips are never olah shulchan lachem, but latkes, let's say, are olah, so they're both fried potatoes, but they were done so differently that they're never, not like the first case. In the first case, baked potatoes are baked potato, but in this case, it's so different, okay? So we'll see. We'll see that, as you know, there's some machlokes about this. most of the American halachos are making about the Shiloh. Okay, we'll see some of the details about it in a second. But now there's a third question. There's a third example.
It's broken.
There's a third example.
I'm not responsible.
There's a third example. Broiled tuna steaks are oil of shulchamach. Okay? That's a food that's considered a fancy food. That's oil of shulchamach. Okay? What would you do if you took steamed tuna steaks? You took a piece of tuna and you steamed it. You know, you put it into a steamer. Instead of broiling it, you steamed it. Okay? That food is not oil of shulchamach. Okay? Now,
why is that?
Why is it not oil of shulchamach?
What does it look like? Okay. It's tuna fish?
It looks like mush. Okay, it looks like
tuna fish.
So what is that? When you eat a can of tuna fish, before they put it into the can, they take the whole fish, they steam it. Okay, which it makes it cooked. It's not raw anymore, but it's not the way that's oil of shulchamach. Now in this case, you didn't even do the same cooking as you did last time. At least the French fries, you fry potatoes makes shulchamachim. You fry these kind of potatoes, it's not oil of shulchamachim. Here, broiling a steak makes it oil of shulchamachim. Steaming it does not make it oil of shulchamachim. Okay, so in this case, what the person did is he did a whole different kind of cooking. So here, the type of food, tuna fish, could be oil of shulchamachim. Okay, but steamed tuna fish is a whole completely different way of cooking it. Okay, in this case, almost everybody is making that this is not oil of shulchamachim. That this is, I did such a different kind of cooking.
What's the difference between that and potato chips?
The difference is potato chips is, this is fried and this is fried. They were both fried. So some people will argue, just like in a baked potato, I baked it and you baked it, mine is oily even though I don't cook so well. Over here, I cooked it a little thinner, you cooked it a little thicker. They see that as the same, as similar enough.
Same process.
Basically, right, it's the same process. But over here, with the tuna, broiled tuna and steamed tuna are two completely different birds. They have nothing to do with each other. They don't have any similarity. I mean, they both started with a piece of the same kind of fish.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say, no, once the fish could be made, oil, then that food is automatically oil. Okay? But that's very few people hold in this case that that's considered oil. Okay? Almost everybody agrees that in this case, that's not considered oil because Lamai says the way you cooked it, it's just not oil. Okay? Now, there is such a thing as, you know, that there's such a thing as Bishri Yisrael tuna. The people who want Bishri Yisrael tuna mainly don't want it for that. It's for a different child because of the Siman Mana. They want a Mashgiach Tzmiti. That's really, they go together.
Because that was eaten with blintzes.
Okay. Now, okay, so now, so our main question is really the middle shiloh, which is, this use the same method of cooking.
Yeah.
You fried, but one guy cooked it, that's oil shulchamach, one guy cooked it, one method of cooking, like you sliced it really thin,
French
is not oil shulchamach.
It's middle in your, well, you said it, but it's really the other end of the spectrum. It's most similar to the Isser.
It's closer to the Isser?
It's because most similar to...
Okay, because...
No, you said it in the order, you said it.
Well, it's middle in the sense that the case where I made a baked potato and you made a baked potato...
That's not what...
There, everybody, almost everybody holds that case is considered usher. And this case, almost everybody holds is mutter. So now we have the middle case, which is in the middle in the sense that it's not as obviously mutter or usher. It's more... In the, you think just... You think Shiloh-wise, you think it's...
It is in the middle in similarity to the
usher. Right, okay, anyhow. So many people are aware that Rav Moshe has a short tshuva, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky also, both who said that potato chips need Bishri Yisrael. Many people are aware the tshuvas are really not very lengthy, and especially for Rav Moshe, who usually has more to save himself to explain what he holds, would that in itself bother Rabelsky? Not that he thinks the tshuva is not real. I mean, it was written to his son, who says that he really wrote it, but they don't.
Reuven said Rav Moshe did not. He wanted it for a Zaytig.
He wrote it to Reuven, if I remember, it's written to Reuven, who confirmed that it really is an accurate Jew. It really is what it says. That's what he really wrote. His father really wrote it to him.
He probably declared that potato chips Rav Moshe only helped because he was under the impression that it was being served. Potato chips at bar mitzvah.
So you, what I'm about to say
what
is,
ball games.
It's not when they went back to him and said to him. He said yes, he wrote the tshuva. He says, but I can't tell you what he was told before he wrote it. In other words, I don't know what someone said to him, that led him to say that it's usher. Because the tshuva doesn't say what he's thinking and what's going on in his mind. So like David said, maybe someone told him beforehand that it's usher. Maybe they told him that in sandwich club, they put it to sandwich and they...
What? Cornflakes.
That what?
The same thing, you pass him one way, that was a shackle.
Okay.
And then... Because they explained the process wrong. When they read
the toasting.
Okay, so like what David said is, it's not clear what was going on because he doesn't explain himself in the tshuva. He doesn't say he's talking about the shiloh.
There's people.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He says it's usher. He says Pasha says it's also, you shouldn't argue with people who say it's mutter. You shouldn't be mutter against those people. But he doesn't say what he's told, and maybe he was told that it is earlier. You know what I mean? There's a famous story. There's a famous
the
story.
Pretzels.
Yes, the famous story that someone called on the phone and said, yes, Rabbi, what bracha do you make on a pretzel? And he turned to his wife and said, Rebetzin, what says a pretzel? And she said, oh, I'm a Zionist soul. So he said to the person, I'm a Zionist. Okay, he doesn't know what it is. So he answered. So he answered. Anyhow, okay, so it's not clear what they understood. Rav Yaakov is more elaborate what he said about it. But the truth is, we're going to talk a little bit about Tzelt Arayis.
Is also Niz Bishli Yisrael?
Yaakov talks more about this Shiloh that we're talking about, of a thing that's oil in one form but not in another form.
Where is that?
It's printed in Emes Yaakov, yes. But the truth is, as you probably know, most of the American Hashgachas ignore this and assume that potato chips do not need Bishli Yisrael. Okay? So within this Shiloh, just to put it into perspective, most of the Hashgachas are making on that Shiloh. Okay? So here's some of the Rayas that have to do with this Shiloh. Okay, the most talked about is that there's Issa v'Heter. There's two places that the Issa v'Heter talks about things like this. And one of them is brought right on our din in the Shach. Okay? The Issa v'Heter says that if you have b'nei mi'ayim, okay, intestines, kishka, okay, that a guy cooked, he says it's aser to eat it, it's bishul akum, even though it wouldn't be served at Shulchan Aruch. Okay? That's in one place. That's in Mem Gimel. And in Mem Dalet, he says that if you have pas oirez, pas kitnias, okay, breads that are made out of these kind of things that are tafshilim, they're not oila, okay, but they're usher because if they would be cooked, they would be oila shulchan aruch. Okay, so these two things, if you listen to what I just said, okay, if you only knew that, those two things that Issa v'Heter sound like, he's saying, it's usher because there's another way to make it that it would be oila shulchan aruch.
Therefore,
this way is also other shulchan. If you would only know what I told you, that would be the simple reason. The Shach brings one of the Shach, and the Prichodesh bring the first one of these that I mentioned to you, the one in Mem Gimel. Now, the Prichodesh, when he brings it, he adds words that are not there in the Issa v'Heter, his explanation. And his words are, he says, "Im loikein, if we're not going to say that the Kishka, the name is Asher, he says, not the Basher Kachosh. So then we should say that meat that's not such great meat should also be mutter. Why? The aim is echashivas, because nobody would serve that as shulchan aruch. Elavadei, the kol min basar asr, all min basar is asr, because he seems to be saying that since meat is on the shulchan aruch, he's saying it in a different form than we did, but so meat, the other parts of meat, meat is meat, and all meat is become considered oil shulchan aruch. Okay? So it sounds like they're saying that the food could be usher, even if the one that I have in front of me, the b'nei mi'ayim, would never be served at shulchan aruch, but since there's another way, or the other part of this meat, or something like that, is oila shulchan aruch, things could be sort of pulled in with it, and they become usher also. Okay, that sounds like the machmir. Okay? Now, what's the reason to say that this is not right? The Shach brings this, and we said the Prichodesh brings it also. Okay, because if you read the Issa v'Heter, it's not at all what he says. Okay? That's not what the Issa v'Heter says. The Issa v'Heter says, he's talking about whether the first shayla that we talked about, we said is that the Gemara says you have to be oil shulchan aruch lalafas b'yis apas. So the Issa v'Heter says, well, what about if it's not lalafas b'yis apas? Let's say it's just leparperis. What would you say about that if the food is only oil shulchan aruch leparperis? Is that also considered oil shulchan aruch? And he says, yes, that's also considered oil shulchan aruch. He says, and therefore, b'nei me'ayim are also. Because even though you wouldn't serve them at Shulchan Aruch, meaning you wouldn't serve them in the main part of the meal at the Shulchan Aruch, it's aser anyhow because it's served with parperis. Because it's served with parperis. That's what he's talking about. He's like, food that are served with parperis are also considered oila, and therefore, b'nei mi'ayim are aser, because they wouldn't be served at the main part of the meal. It would only be served as an appetizer. Okay, you don't serve kishka at the meal, you only serve at the smorgasbord. So therefore, it's a so he's saying that it's usher, not because since other meat is usher, therefore this meat is usher. He's saying it since it's le parperis, and I hold that parperis is usher, therefore this food is usher. That's what he's trying to say. Okay? The Dayan Falk has a tshuva about this, and in it he says, you read this event however you like to. He says, really the simple reading is what I just said to you. He says, but you can read however you want to. He says, but I have to tell you something. He says, the Teres Chattas, that's the Ramah, brings the Issa v'Heter. And guess what the Teres Chattas says? He brings the Issa v'Heter and saying this din about b'nei mi'ayim, and you know what Teres Chattas says? He says, we don't pass him like this. This Vehta says that this kind of a case is also it's bishlachim. Teres Chata says it's not true. We don't hold like this. It's not correct. So whatever you think.
Why not? Elsewhere, we don't hold
so
like that.
So it's not clear, and Dayan Falk has his explanation.
Because the Ramah is not clear like on this machaber.
I told you the room. He brings other Isra Vehta. He says we don't pass
like
this. He says we don't pass like that. So Dayan Falk says, he says, even if you think that the Isra Vehta says, the Isra Vehta is saying that, he says, it's not the din like that. And guess what? That Teres Chatas is what's behind a Ramah that we saw many moons ago. Okay? The Ramah says, there's a Ramah in the beginning of Kuf Yud Beis talking about Pas, Oiris, right. Kidneys. That's what the other Isra Vehta is talking about. And he says, if you made it in the way that's not Olo Shulchan Lachem, then it's Mutter. If you did. And the way the Shach understands it is, what the Ramah is saying is that there are different ways to make it. If you make it Ola Shulchan Lachem, then it's Asur. If you make it not Ola Shulchan Lachem, then it's Mutter.
According to that, a big potato that I screwed up wouldn't be Chayav.
No, he doesn't mean that you burnt it. He means there's different, let's say you could... Potato chips versus lot.
Okay.
So the Ramah is saying, the way the Shach understands in Kuf Yud Beis is making exactly this point, which is what Dayan Falk says. He's coming today, he doesn't hold what the Isra Vehta. He's making the point that if there's two ways to prepare the same food, one would be oil and one would not be. What's the din? It depends how you made it. If you made it the way that's oil, it's also. If you made it not oil, then it's mutter. Okay, so the even if you think Isra Vehta holds it, which is really the pashas that he does not hold it, even if Isra Vehta holds it, and maybe the one by Paz Oris is more strong than he holds like that, the Ramah makes the point that he does not agree with him. The Ramah is saying, I don't agree with that. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach agrees with that. So what do we? So let's even say to such a shita, it's not negated to us halacha because we don't pass like that. Now, what are you going to say? One last knetch on this. What are you going to say? The Pri Chodesh adds these words on that he says what he means to say is that since meat is Aruch Shulchan Aruch, and therefore all parts of meat have to be also. So the Pri Chodesh seems to be accepting the shita. So Rabbi Yomim Kohn, in the Chodesh Rabbi Yomim, has an Einfall. He says,
and therefore, according to him, if I had a potato, any form of a potato should also be awesome.
That's what people want to say. So Rabbi Yomim Kohn has an Einfall. He says, the reason why the Pre-Chodesh said that is, if you'll remember, the Pre-Chodesh is the one who holds that food which is served with parperes is not usher. Remember I told you back in the beginning that the Mechaber and almost everybody passes that foods of the Parperes is also considered Oil HaShulchan Lachem. And the Pre-Chodesh is the one who holds that food that served the Parperes is not... The Gemara says Lafas, but it's a pass only things in the main part of the meal, but things that are the Parperes are not considered Oil HaShulchan Lachem. So therefore, the Pre-Chodesh says, how am I going to pass like this Behetu who says that Bnei Ma'im are Asr? It must be that they're Asr because just like all other meat is Asr, so this meat has to be Asr also because or else we'll have to stop being Mechal. This piece of meat, yes, and this cut, yes, this cut, not. So he had to say this dip. But we don't hold like that. Nobody paskins, almost nobody paskins that food that's not Lepar Paris is not Rosh Shulchan Lachem. Since we hold like that, so we can read the Issa Vehetter like he simply says, which is, since food which is Lepar Paris is Osir, so B'nai Ma'im are Lepar Paris, and therefore they're Osir. So it's not even like we have to say, oh, but the Pre-Chodesh learned it like that. The Pre-Chodesh sort of forced himself to learn like that, because he held Lepar Paris is not Rosh Shulchan Lachem. So therefore he, in order to hold, to accept what the Issa Vehetter said, in order to be able to talk about the Basar Kachos, whatever it is, he had to hold like that. But everybody else who doesn't hold like that, almost everybody holds that food which is Lepar Paris is considered Oila. So we could take the Issa Vehetter, the simple way of understanding it, and the way the Shach and Kuf Yud Beis, and say that food which is the way you made it is not Oila. But somebody else could have done a similar process and made it Oila. He could have made a latke instead of a French fry. So since I made it in a way that's not Oila, that thing is not considered, it's not Bishlach.